Publishing Talks, the podcast about the publishing industry. I'm David Wilk, your host. Today I'm talking to Vikram Narayan, who's in Bangalore, India. We're talking through the joys of Skype and hoping that the connection will stay strong while we talk. Hi, Vikram. How are you?
Doing good, David. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's morning where I am. I think it's about 8 hours different where you are.
Right. It's about 6:45 in the evening out here.
Right. So dinner time for you, breakfast for us.
Right.
The reason that I'm talking to you is, aside from the fact that, you know, it's enjoyable to have a conversation, but the specific reason that we're talking is that you have a book marketing business called BookBuzzer, BookBuzzer, and you've also recently prepared a PDF ebook that you sent me that caught my attention, which is tips for authors on what not to do in marketing. And I thought it would be interesting to talk to you, since you've been engaged with writers for a while, on this subject of marketing for authors. So can you tell me a little bit about BookBuzzer first, and then that will, you know, that will get us started.
Sure. So BookBuzzer provides anti-obscurity technologies for authors. In other words, we use a variety of technologies, be it Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, or the iPhone or the iPad, and we figure out ways how authors can market and promote their books on these new platforms. If you look at it, there really is an arms race for attention. There's a proliferation of devices and media and content, and authors who have a hard time getting heard in the marketplace. And that's where we step in with our technology-enabled platform and help authors to get the word out over there among their readers and help authors to catch the eye of readers. And we do this via a variety of technologies. One is a little widget for the book that can be posted on Facebook or on the author's blog and that can be shared by readers. Another is through a patent pending technology, which is through a website called Fredo.com, which is the world's biggest book winning site. And so book lovers go here and play online games, which are designed to entertain and engage book lovers. And then they earn points, and with those points, they bid for various books that are being given away by participating authors. So it's a book giveaway site with a difference and a twist. So we're also working on a variety of new technology which we'll be introducing over the next couple of months.
So the underlying principle behind what you do, I think, is something that most writers would agree with, and that is the web is a gigantic place. It makes everything available, and consequently, it makes it very difficult to be found, to be heard, to be read. Now, one of the questions for a lot of writers, I think, is, well, there are two questions I think writers have, and publishers too. One is, how much work is it for me if I'm going to be trying to be heard and found? I'm essentially becoming a brand, just like anybody else who has a business with something to sell, and I'm competing with lots of people who probably have bigger budgets than I do and more time. And secondly, and of course that's the other question, is what does it cost the user, what does it cost the user to use your platform?
Sure. So one is, the first question was relating to budget in terms of, and I'll treat that as budget consisting of two different parts, time as well as money. And the other is, what does our own platform, the BookBuzzer platform, cost? So coming to the first issue, I'm going to respond to one of the points that you brought up in when you made your introduction, where you said that if there is And you know, if there's a bigger brand that you're competing against, that they have an advantage. And you know, if you look at what's happening out there, you might have a big brand, so you might be Coca-Cola, but Coca-Cola can still just have one Twitter account. And so I would think that the web really is a leveler. And so even a little guy sitting somewhere far off alone could actually have a decent sized web presence and have a followership if the person is interesting enough. So if the brand is interesting and engaging and is viral in nature, then the web really is a leveler. So in terms of the amount of effort required, obviously the whole thing is growing at a very rapid pace. You know, what was not there a year ago, you know, suddenly is there on the scene. So keeping up with things is a real challenge, and it requires a substantial amount of effort. You know, you really need to work on building a personal brand till you're bleeding from the eyeballs. In terms of cost, it doesn't need to be too expensive, because as you know, most technologies over time, the cost is driven down towards zero, especially web technologies. So in terms of the BookBuzzer technologies itself, we were free for the longest time, and we still are free. Most of our technologies are free, and only a few of our technologies, you know, are chargeable on a monthly subscription of less than $5 a month. And the way we've divided our technologies is, you know, if it is saving the author a substantial amount of time in terms of promoting books, so as long as it saves time, we're going to be charging for that. But if it's just going to be driving, you know, if the author is going to be doing most of their own work in terms of setting up the BookBuzzer widget and things like that, there is no cost. We do not charge. So we follow a freemium model where a small percentage of our user base will subsidize the rest of the user base.
I think that raises a good point. I think what you talked about a couple of interesting things there. One is the idea that web technologies are the cost of the price of web technology is driven down, and I wonder if you believe also that applies to information. In fact, the products themselves. That authors produce. I mean, this is a big discussion that people have, but you know, when you think about the book itself now becoming a place of internet ecology and the web ecology, the book is a wonderful device, a kind of container of ideas that is pretty well established in our culture, but the web has also made content available broadly and almost always for free, or as you have, on a freemium model. And I wonder if that suggests that for authors, as books become more widely available and every book is competing with every other book for attention, as well as every other form of communication, whether it's video games, movies, television, you know, where you can buy an episode of a television show for 99 cents and a movie for $2. What does that mean for the future? And this is not necessarily immediately today, but does this mean that even books will have their prices driven down and that new models of transactions will have to emerge in order for authors to be able to reap a financial reward?
Right. I guess it's the kind of content that's important. For example, I recently bought an information product for over $200. And the reason why I did this was because the author not only gives you the content, but he gives you a host of other services. He bundles in the community. He bundles in personal advice. He bundles in the opportunity to tap into additional new writing that he's putting in there. So really, if it comes down to non-fiction, you know, the statement that information wants to be free, but information also wants to be extremely expensive is probably true. In fact, a higher price could be a way for a content creator to differentiate himself. You know, so perhaps somebody said that he's written the most expensive ebook ever published.
Right, that would probably attract attention, and people would want to buy it.
Right, and there's a little story from the founder of the Japanese system of healing called Reiki, and the guy who founded it apparently initially started offering free Reiki healing, and the rate of healing was not that high, and his customer base was not growing. Then he switched around his business model and started charging a much, much higher price. And the rate of healing actually went up, and his business began to grow. So the point being, when you pay a reasonable amount for something, you tend to value it. But on the other hand, it does depend on the category of content, the genre. So if you're looking at something like, you know, a thriller read, like a non-fiction book, maybe a mystery or a thriller or a horror book, you really are competing with, you know, the option of watching a movie or playing a quick video game. And so, you know, the current pricing, if you look at it, it's less than $3. And so that appears to be where it's getting driven down. And so the market price is already getting set by the market. And so the expectations are getting set. And I think there's going to be an interesting phase going forward. It depends on what kind of content you've got there and what you're able to bundle in and what kind of value-added services you're able to provide.
And I think that's actually an interesting point. I think for writers of fiction, and I agree with you, I think that fiction as entertainment, because there are so many people who are willing, they are so desperate for attention, I don't want to say desperate, but that, you know, people want to be read, so there is a category of entertainment reading where because you're competing with so many other low-cost options, it does drive the price down, and there is a bigger impediment there to higher pricing, but it is also possible for fiction writers to come up with interesting ways of connecting to their readers that are more valuable, and as you say, maybe there's a community, or maybe it's buy the ebook for $2.99, but if you like it and you really want the hardcover or book that goes
right
with it to memorialize it and make it a kind of souvenir of your experience, that you
right
can buy a signed copy directly from the author, you know, for $20. And I think that model may in fact be viable for some writers. I guess I wanted to ask you another thing, which is, what prompted you to work on a technology platform to promote authors? What was your interest? How did you get into this in the first place?
Yeah. Well, it happened almost by accident. So a few years ago, I was running another business. I still run another software business that provides enterprise software in the HR space, so human resources related software. I had a friend over at my place, and he's an author. He's written a book called Why Your Boss is Programmed to Be a Dictator. He's a published author. It was number one on the UK pre-orders list, and it's been doing pretty well since it launched 3 or 4 years ago. He was generally lamenting the state of affairs, his own difficulties. So basically his take was, you know, my publisher is not doing too much once the book really came out. So after the first 6-8 weeks after launch, the PR firm that the publisher had hired has actually stopped supporting me, and they don't do anything else after that. And so I'm pretty much on my own. And I wish I could actually have some kind of technology support. So I need to figure out this whole internet thing. There's Twitter, there's Facebook. And I know I need to be doing something, but I really don't know what I should be doing and how I should be doing it. And so, we got talking, and at some point I just pulled out a pen and started writing down what we'd want in the ideal book marketing technology get widgets out there. And now, a couple of weeks later, we had a prototype for the BookBuzzer widget, which was our initial flagship technology. And there was a very good response to that. So we had a couple of thousand authors signing up almost instantly. And from then on, we started thinking about what else we could be doing for authors. So we came up with a tweeting feature, a book tweeting feature, which sends out tweets to followers in a non-annoying manner. Every time, a couple of a particular milestone is met with regard to a particular book. And thereon, we noticed that gaming was rising really quickly. And we also noticed that some of our authors who wanted to do book giveaways were having a hard time. So we had this other author who wanted to do a book giveaway, and she ran the contest. We helped her with that contest. And when the winner was announced, she discovered that the winner was not a book reading type. The winner had just played the contest for the sake of, for the game. But thereafter didn't want the prize offered. So that got us thinking that there's another massive problem out there, that the book reading population itself is really, really small. So you might have an interest in vampires, but you might not be a book reader. And so if someone markets a vampire book to you, it's bound to be a failure. So we decided to come up with this notion of the world's biggest book winning site, where true book lovers, genuine book lovers, are attracted to the site and are exposed to books that they might be interested in the form of games. So that's where we are. That's the genesis of this whole business and the thinking and the thesis behind the business.
So how many writers or publishers are you working with now? I know it's pretty easy to sign up. So how many do you have kind of, or how many have signed up so far? Let's put it that way.
Well, we've got over 5,600 authors signed up, over 300 publishers signed up, and the interesting thing is we've done zero marketing, face-to-face marketing. So we've done very minimal trade shows. We've done one trade show, but most of it has happened just through email, writing blog posts, Twitter, and so it's just been a full system where we're just creating the content that will interest authors and publishers, and they find us through Google search or through Twitter or through StumbleUpon, and they sign up. And we've done all this, sitting really far away from our potential user base, which is mostly the United States and the United Kingdom.
Well, it seems to be pretty effective then. And I was going to ask you, whether the distribution of your users is mostly in the United States, and you answered that question. And then I guess the other question is, on the gaming site, how many book lovers have you got signed up to play these games and participate in the contests?
Well, we have a couple of thousand book lovers. We launched this about 2 months ago, and a lot of them are returning users who come back and play. We have in the region of 60,000 to 80,000 games being played every month. And
sorry about the interruption there. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was the booklet that you have produced called The 10 Book Marketing Mistakes That Authors Make. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that. It's a pretty interesting idea. I think it's probably one that will, that I think could get a lot of attention, because authors typically don't understand book marketing. It's a really difficult subject for many of them. They're not by nature marketers in many cases, and I think one of the things that is fairly commonly expressed by writers is that they really do like the idea of writing books, and they love the idea of being read, but not every writer feels like they're comfortable with the idea, with the marketing role.
Absolutely. And it's a real challenge. So when we studied our user base of authors, and what differentiated those who were succeeding versus those who were having a hard time finding a readership for their book. We were able to identify 10 book marketing mistakes that authors seem to be making. So obviously one of the major ones was not having a tagline. So a tagline is a single line description of a particular author. So if you said J.K. Rowling, and single line description would be, she writes about wizards, about the young boy wizard, right? You name a big author and you're able to describe that author, in less than 5 or 6 or 10 words. And a lot of authors don't consciously think about that, nor do they think about that for their own books. On the other hand, those that do think about it and those that do position themselves into a particular niche seem to enjoy comfortable success. People, their target audience come back to them. For example, there is an author on BookBuzzer who describes herself as an author of romance books for slightly overweight women.
Right, it's pretty clear that she knows who
right.
she's talking to.
Right, and there is, so if you think about it, there's no one else you can think of who's a parent in that particular area, so it's perfectly positioned. And, she's got a phenomenal amount of views on BookBuzzer as well as on her own website, and looks like she's doing really well. Her name's Pat Ballard. And the other thing that authors tend to do is not differentiating between marketing and sales. So they tend to become too salesman-like. And marketing really is an art, but it's also a science in that you're trying to create, the infrastructure like where people find you and they want to buy stuff from you, as opposed to pushing stuff out and trying to sell stuff. And so our advice to authors is if you've ever gone to a sales course, or like a Tony Robbins seminar, you need to forget everything you learned out there, because it's not about being a motivated salesperson. It's about putting out interesting content out there and being interesting. And that also ties into the notion of not marketing the personality behind the book. A lot of authors, tend to be very silent and hope that their writing will speak for itself. But even that is a challenge. On the other hand, you've got people who are able to put out their personality and who are known for more than just their writing. And you also have situations where authors are very stingy with their information about their book. For example, there are some authors who put up book extract, and the book extract is like 2 or 3 pages long, and they're hoping that someone will buy it or get interested enough in it. And so it becomes more and more challenging to get interest if you are going to be secretive about the content inside your book. Go ahead.
And I was going to ask you the way that you're going to distribute the booklet, the 10 book marketing mistakes. I assume you're giving it away at this point, following your own logic and belief.
Right.
You're going to make this available to anybody who asks for it?
Well, it's going to be available in a multiple, variety of means. One is for people, obviously we have our installed base of authors who we think will benefit from it. It's also going to be made available on the Kindle and, iBook store, and wherever else you can find it. We're also planning on having a hardcover, the paperback version come out. And of course, we want to experiment with a couple of ways. Maybe make it into an iPhone application and see what happens. We have some ideas for making it an iPhone application. But essentially, it becomes a way, we talk about the medium and we want to be out there. Maybe make it available on the torrent site, the file sharing site. Because what I've noticed with my friend book, Chetan's book, the one person who's written the book called Why Your Boss is Programmed to Be a Dictator, most people found the manifesto of his book, which is like a short form of his book, which is available for free on his own website as well as on another website. It's available for free download. But people actually found his book through the torrent site, through the file sharing site, and discovered him through the torrent sharing site, and started purchasing his book. So there's actually value in pirating your own book.
Well, I think that's actually very smart. In fact, you know, it makes sense that people, you know, search by itself works best if there's content and people right. thinking. So if you give away something that actually has real value, you're much more likely to be recognized. You know, as we were talking about before, the noise level is very high. So you right. have to do things that get people to pay attention to you. And one of the most powerful things you can do is to give away real content. I think that's something that you've clearly identified. And we only have a little bit more time, so I wanted to ask you one more question, and that is for BookBuzzer, kind of what are the, what is the sort of vision you have for what you want to do in the future? To as your business grows.
Right. Well, if you just look at the overall trend of the market, you know, the real value of publishers is being questioned. I'm not saying that they're not valuable. They really are valuable, but it's being questioned by a number of authors, and there is almost a problem of adverse selection. In other words, if you are a well-known author with your own brand and platform, you're very much thinking about going down the self-publishing route. You're putting, you really don't want to be sharing revenues or getting hamstrung through a partnership with a publisher. And so we believe that in the long run, there's going to be just two games in town. One is writing, editing, and putting out a good book, and the other is marketing. And so if we are able to dominate the marketing and book promotion bit of the industry, and we don't see a fair competitor right now, but if it stays like that for a couple of years, then I think we're going to be in a reasonably good position in terms of what we'll be doing for authors, and also publishers who've woken up to the fact that they need to be doing something in this rapidly changing landscape. So where we see ourselves in a couple of years is that we're hopeful that we can actually expand out there and serve a lot more authors with our technologies. The iPhone and iPad and the Google Android are obviously something that we're working on, and we hope to have a number of technologies that will help authors promote their books on these platforms in the next couple of months. We're deepening our hooks into Facebook, Twitter obviously is growing, but the rise of mobile devices, reading on mobile devices is something that's an area that where we need to get onto fast, and we're working on that pretty hard.
Well, it sounds like you have lots of plans, and I think that so far what you've done is really encouraging. I think clearly authors need assistance in marketing, and they're going to need, every author cannot hire a marketing consultant. So if you can provide them with marketing value tools and techniques, I think that you'll be successful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vikram. This has been Publishing Talks. I'm David Wilk, your host. I've been talking to Vikram Narayan of BookBuzzer, BookBuzzer, in Bangalore. Thanks so much.
Thank you.